Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone calls here today on New Life.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
Takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live, wherever you are, your car, your home, your kitchen, your garage, whatever it is, out in the backyard. Some of you, you listen in prison, and we say hello to you and to everybody that's listening. Joining me today, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Sherry Denham. Hi, guys.
Hey, Stevie.
Hello.
Hey, Steve,
don't
all of us listen in our own prisons, of our own feeble minds, in the prisons
thought.
That we build in our heads, and that God wants to break the bars and break us out and send the angels to tear down the doors? And all.
Nice.
No, you're right. It's very good. That was beautiful and well said. What I said was, we're all behind these walls.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what has us in prison. We got to knock them down. Okay, it's November. It's the month of Thanksgiving. I want to read a quote. We've tried to do this on and off this month so far. Here it is. Rebecca Harding Davis said this, "For, after all, put it as we may to ourselves, we are all of us, from birth to death, guests at a table which we did not spread. The sun, the earth, love, friends, our very breath are parts of the banquet. Shall we think of the day as a chance to come nearer to our host and to find out something of him who has fed us so long?" Isn't that a nice thought?
Yes.
Come
it's
closer to God out of gratitude. Boy, I tell you.
The banquet that's out there, instead of seeing it as a world of only crumbs.
Yes. I was at church last night, and you might have seen this online, where people hold up a card of what their life was like, and then they flip it over and they talk about what their life is today. And this darling little girl with big glasses on held up a sign. She was probably 2 feet tall, that said, "Born with special needs," and then she flipped it over, and her special needs had been met through Christ. And you know, we're so fortunate to have a God that takes even our most difficult things, even the mistakes we make, and does something amazing and beautiful, makes beauty from ashes, as His word says. I'm grateful. You guys grateful for anything?
Absolutely. I love that passage, and I think my life is living evidence of God restoring what the locusts have eaten. I mean, I don't know where I'd be without a redeemer like Him. He has. I mean, it's kind of like you hear people say, you know, when He's all you have, that's when you really get to know Him. And that's what happened with me. And when it was all I had, when He was it and He was my lifeline, that's when we really went deep, and I saw amazing things happen in God's restorative plan in my life. And He's still doing it. Henry was, you know, asking me about that before we went on the air today. But God is continuing to restore my life, and He does for so many. You know, He's a good God.
Amen. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this. We'll go to the phone calls. I want to mention, I'll be speaking at Promise Keepers in Mississauga. Way up there in Canada, but we have listeners on XM and other places. It's going to be a great conference. If you're a man and you live near Mississauga, come join us November the 18th, Promise Keepers. It's going to be a great time. All right. Take
a
break.
It's kind of nice to know that movement's still moving.
Especially in Canada. Very, very strong in Canada. Some amazing, amazing people up there working on Promise Keepers. We'll be back after this.
You think I'm a great person. full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Grateful that you're with us here. Let's go over here and talk with Christine from Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Christine. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, what does long-term separation look like with the hope and intent of reconciliation?
Why do you ask, Christine?
Well, I'm separated. There's just a lot of issues. No, it's not infidelity. It's just unresolved conflict and trust issues and vacillating and just cannot seem to get it on track. So,
what are the trust issues about, Christine?
Well, kind of a suspicion on both ends. Like, the suspicions are regarding infidelity, but no, like, there's no... like definite cheating going on. It's just, I think we're just constantly questioning each other. Like, do you have something to hide? It just kind of goes back and forth.
And that's why y'all separated?
No, well, there's a lot of arguing. We separated. I mean, I think the biggest thing is unresolved conflict. We just can't seem to resolve something, put some things to rest for good, you know?
But it almost sounds like somewhere in your courtship, two people just don't go into relationship and get married because they're questioning each other and they're afraid, and there's this I mean, something had to happen at some point for that trust to be breached. And can you bring it to us so we understand a little bit more, because you're kind of talking all around it and I'm like, give us the goods.
Yeah, I don't think I really understand where the mistrust came in. I know he previously had a long-term relationship, there was a lot of infidelity going on in that situation. I think he just brought that in to the relationship. And
you mean she was unfaithful to him, so he doesn't trust you now?
That's what I gather. I don't know if my assessment is accurate on that, but that's kind of the feeling that I get. Like, I'm getting what she left him.
And you've never done anything that would cause him to not trust you?
Nothing. The biggest issue is that he did not have my password for an email. And there's just constantly, like, even when he asks me things, it's very suspicious. He's suspecting something all the time. And then in my opinion, like, I get really insulted because he's kind of constantly questioning my integrity and questioning my faithfulness.
I don't know anything else. Okay, but I'm going to tell you something. Okay. If I didn't know anything else or would not know anything else, okay? Yeah. One of the most important qualities that anyone can ever have is the ability to have every aspect of their integrity and everything questioned without being insulted.
Really?
Every relationship along this dimension that I've ever seen get sideways, somebody takes affront and injury because they are being questioned. How dare you insult my integrity? How dare you? What? You don't trust me? And you get all those responses, okay, which are defensive, and they speak from a place that says that we feel like that we are entitled to trust, and no one is entitled to trust. What Jesus said, who was the most entitled to trust of anybody on the planet, he said, don't believe what I tell you, Believe the works that you see. Believe what I show you. Look at the witness. Look at all this stuff. Look at everything. I open everything up to you. I show you the whole thing. Okay? And when you, like if the IRS goes somewhere and they say, show us the books, the one that rings, you know, it says, hey, yeah, come on in. Let's, you know, they open it all up. Then you develop more trust. And I see that a lot where people get defensive about being questioned, as opposed to if you have the intent to build trust, what you would say to that person is, oh, my gosh, I would never want you to be scared. What can I do? What do I need to show you? What do I need to do? I'll do anything to show you that you don't have anything to fear. And that's a way different dynamic in a relationship. And I think you guys, that would be one thing, before I know anything else, that'd be one thing that I would want to find out what's going on where you guys wouldn't feel that kind of, you know, showing your belly to each other. You kind of like surrendering just to, you know, to be known.
Mm-hmm.
What's the defensiveness about?
Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. I think. And it's not like this is the first time he's questioned me. I think the insult comes after time after time after time after time after time. It's like, are you ever going to trust me just because you trust me, because I constantly have to prove things to you?
That's a really good question. And so are you saying that you did take 1,000 steps to show him that there's nothing that he needs to worry about? You show him your cell phone bills. You show him the email accounts. Everything.
The thing was, you know how sometimes it prompts you to change your email password?
Mine doesn't, but I can believe you.
Okay. Well, it was that kind of thing where I had to change my password because you have 30 days to whatever. It expires every 90 days or something like that. Well, I did not give him the new password, and that's where it all
got really suspicious. You refused it, or you just...
No. I just did not update him on the fact.
Oh, I see. And so then he came to you and said, what's your new password? And you said, oh, here it is.
Yeah. It was that, like, well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me you changed it? And it was like, honey, because it expired. Like,
right.
That's where the insult comes in. Question after question after question after question. It's just like.
So what has he done, I guess, as far as working on his trauma and the hurt from feeling the infidelity in his, marriage?
Nothing that I know of, honestly. And that's why it's a prolonged issue.
Right. And that goes to your initial question about, so what is a separation supposed to look like? Here's the problem with separations. Separations remove each other from a source of pain. So you're having conflict and you separate because you just can't take this pain anymore. So you separate and the conflict goes down. It rewards not working on the conflict. Unless the separation is designed with a structure in process to resolve conflict and help you guys get back together. So I like to see separations having a plan to them. And if you think of a circle, okay, if you drew a circle on the board, this is something I talk about a lot because it's one of the greatest, I think, metaphors that we can use. If you use the laws of physics, a closed system gets worse over time, okay? And if you draw a circle, anything within a closed circle is going to get worse over time. So you and he are a closed system working on this marriage. What you've got to do to reverse that law of entropy is you open up that system and you infuse two ingredients. Number one, you need a new source of energy into that system. Number two, you need a template or some path to organize information to make that energy work towards a goal. So what I would have you do is open up your marriage to outside sources of energy that have a direct template or path, that there are issues that they're working on you and giving assignments and saying, we're going to resolve communication, we're going to resolve past pain, we're going to encourage you, we're going to support you. And everybody in that recipe is for the resolution of this marriage. And that's how a separation ought to work. What happens is people separate and they have other input that's out more to break them apart or medicate them than to get them together.
Mm-hmm. That's how I'm feeling. It's like it's kind of like we're dating again, but things are fun. We don't have to talk every day. We're kind of still dancing around issues.
Right, but there may be some core wounds there in his heart that have come up because of the infidelity. So sometimes in trauma work that I do, where there's been infidelity, trauma gets wired in on a thoughtful and emotional level. Okay, it's a heart issue and it's a thought level. And there are these beliefs that get wrapped around that trauma. And oftentimes when there's been infidelity, this is what the belief sounds like. It says, I cannot trust anyone. And that is wired in thoughtfully and emotionally. And they're stuck. They end up being really hypervigilant, paranoid, mm-hmm. questioning. So until that thought is rewired, until they do that work to come out the other side, do you know what the thought is that's on the other side of that? It's this. Yeah. I can choose whom to trust. Mm. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Like, why can't I just move from I can't trust anyone to I can choose whom to trust? But there's work that has to go into that process so that somebody can get through that both thoughtfully and emotionally, because it got wired in, and that's why he's hypervigilant. So there has to be some work on his part specifically to go back and to look at those wounds. Because
so what's my part in that? Did I just let him... I mean, I know I have a part in the marriage, but
well,
I just feel like Henry brings this to the table.
Henry was talking about, he's saying you got to have a plan. Part of your plan is, honey, I can see where there's this wound that is causing you to really question who I am.
And I want to help heal that wound.
Yeah. And so you got to get some counseling. Got to do some trauma work. Your heart was hurt. You were brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. And it sets you up to be, you know, really frightened about who to trust. I want to be that trustworthy person, but for some reason, we're spinning our wheels and we're not getting any traction in our marriage. You've got to do some of the work on that trauma piece in order to get to the other side. Mm-hmm. And so you ask him to do that in the midst of the separation.
And the two of you talking to somebody together.
Yep.
Whose agenda is to help you guys get together and not have this get in the way.
You know, the bottom line is this is so much different from two people not living together, living separate lives.
Thinking it's going to go away. If
right.
you just give it enough time, it'll
right.
just dissolve. Nothing dissolves. You've got to resolve it. You know?
Yeah, and I'm wanting to be proactive or active to resolve
good.
Some things so that we can come back together.
That's great. And what you can do, because you have great leverage, because he loves you and he wants you, is you match that and say, you know what, I'm committed to our marriage and I want to get back together, but here's what has to happen first. For us really to get together, we need to go see somebody together
yeah.
and get a plan and name the issues. And this is a great opportunity for us both to grow. So let's go do that.
Yeah.
There you have it. A path.
Yeah.
So why the sigh?
It could be a hope, you know, but you're sighing over it.
I guess we've gone to counseling a lot, and nothing seems to, like, break the cycle, and that hence that's why we're separated.
Well, what I would want to know is what breaks the cycle of counseling? See, if you're saying that here's the math of the formula that you just gave me is that the dysfunction overpowers the counseling.
Mm-hmm.
The dysfunction is greater than the counseling was able to contain.
So what does that equate? Like, now what do we do when the dysfunction
I'd find stronger counseling. I would find a marriage counselor who deals with very difficult situations and doesn't allow somebody's dysfunction to derail his or her program. Now, anybody obviously can drop out, but see, here's what you're telling me that doesn't make sense. If I'm the marriage counselor, okay, and I'm seeing you guys, and let's just pretend he drops out of marriage counseling, which I don't know if he did or didn't, but if he drops out, you're still coming.
He did.
Okay, you're still coming, and I'm telling you, no, you're not going out on a date with him until he's back in here. So that's the point, that the marriage counseling would organize a process that doesn't let him organize the relationship with you around his issues, which he's been strong enough to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the counseling should come alongside you to stand with you and say, look, you've got, you know, all the goods here. You know, he wants you. Mm-hmm. But that's going to cost him to get access to you. He's got to come through this gate and pay the ticket. Mm-hmm. And the ticket is that you're in counseling to get a relationship that's good for the both of you. But right now he's getting the relationship and the dysfunction and not the counseling.
And he's not getting healed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
and
don't
you
give
need
up.
Some support.
All right, we gotta take a break here. I'm gonna send you Walking Into Walls. I hope that's gonna help you. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. All right, let's talk with Angel from Atlanta,
Steve,
Georgia. Yes, sir.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
What we were talking about on the last caller, I think is a really good thing to think about in life, and that is that there is, let's just call it health and dysfunction. You can call it darkness and light, you know, or whatever the two forces are. You can call it the immaturity of a child vis-a-vis a parent. But there are always dynamic tensions between higher orders of things and lesser orders of things in terms of, you know, maybe one person is more loving and more mature than the other, or maybe, you know, the parent is obviously more mature than the child or whatever it is. Now, here's the problem, that sometimes the dysfunctional side or the dark side or the immature side of that equation has ways of playing the game that gets to the weakness of the light, the one that's bringing the light, the one that's bringing the truth, the one that's bringing the maturity. And at that point, you will get overpowered by dysfunction unless you address that weakness in your own chain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for example, many times a codependent in a relationship with an addict, they're by far the more mature of the two. Okay?
Yeah.
But they have a weakness in terms of being an enabler that doesn't allow their light to win out over the darkness of the addiction. So what they really must do is get that weakness supported by going to a codependency group, for example, or something, to where the light can make it stand. And when we are to be salt and light, we're supposed to dispel darkness and dysfunction. Therapists run into this all the time. You will never talk to a seasoned therapist who did not have situations that what they were dealing with overpowered their capacity, and they needed to seek, you know, supervision or a colleague or peer support or something to learn how to deal with some difficult situation that they may never have encountered before. You know, pastors do this, attorneys do this, doctors do this. Nobody has all the answers or all the strength, but when what we're trying to help overpowers us, then that's where we seek support so that the light can win in the end.
Amen.
You know, parents have a difficult kid. You know, obviously you're more mature than your kid, but that kid's able to get you to be immature sometimes. That's when you need a support group of other parents, for example, or somebody in your corner.
Okay. Let's go to Angel from Atlanta, Georgia. WNIV is the station. Hello, Anna. Angel, how are you?
Hi.
From Atlanta.
Good. Good, thank you.
How could we help you?
Well, I just want to ask a question, and actually the comment was just made about getting help helps me a lot. But thank you so much for taking my call, and I wanted to ask the question, if my husband is cursing in front of the kids, and both of us are Christians, and for me it just really makes me a little, you know, paranoid whether or not he's cursing outside of the house with other people or at his job because it's so natural for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not something that I do with him. But when we first got married, I started being, you know, cursing with him and just like, you're not going to just sit here and curse me out just because you think I'm a Christian. But then after a while, I was like, I'm not going to degrade myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not who I am naturally, because it didn't change anything. It just elevated our relationship, you know, towards a negative way. But now, like, if we have an argument about anything, the smallest thing, he'll just, you know, like the other night, I said, could you get your socks and shoes out of the car because it really smells up the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just go to H or go kill yourself or just stuff like that. And I've talked to brothers at the church about it, and the brother that was helping him said that he cursed also. And I guess it's not something that I've been, as far as growing up, involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I became a Christian, I just knew that cursing was unacceptable.
Well, some of that
God hates it, and
wasn't even
spirit, and I tell
cursing,
him that,
it was
that's
meanness.
How I feel. When you curse, I feel like I'm like something inside of me.
Yeah, but Angel, Henry's making the point that the cursing may not be the biggest issue here.
Yeah, the meanness and the disrespect, you know, and just the hurtfulness, what I would do is I would address that more than whatever words are chosen. What did he say? He said, go kill yourself?
Yeah, or if he drops something, or if he's angry about his computer, he'll just start, this MF, I can't stand this S, or just like, and,
right.
And actually this is the month of abuse month, so we did a session at our church. A visitor came and talked to us about what abuse is, and this is one of, and this was like 3 days ago that they talked to us, and this is one of the things that they said, that, you know, as a part of abuse is when they curse and hit their desk and get really angry.
Yeah, he has an anger rage problem for sure.
Have you ever thought about it that way? That he's got an anger problem, impulse control issues?
Yeah, yes.
So what have you done to unpack what have you done in your marriage to call him out to unpack that anger? Because it sounds like it's been there since before you were married, and he's probably, I'm leaping here, but he's probably a victim of child abuse himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is, and also he's been for maybe the past 7 years in a chemical recovery group. which they deal with a lot of different things. And this is one of the things that I talked to the leader of his group about, is his cursing.
Okay, we'll help you right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year, and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. He's the author of many books, especially the Boundaries series, and Dr. Sherry Denham, the author of Nothing Yet, but she's working on it. You are working on it.
I am.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the book. Wouldn't that be a great title for a book on process?
Or on dating, Nothing Yet.
Nothing Yet, hopefully. I mean, what's the opposite? I want it now without doing the work?
Yeah.
We see what kind of choices people make when they do that.
Anyway.
Yes, we do see that.
Yeah. I like Nothing Yet. I think you ought to write that.
Nothing Yet.
Nothing the yet. Art of Perseverance.
There you go.
That would be a great book.
You'll see it.
Abraham set out for a city whose architect was God, the Bible says. And those who were promised never even realized it in this life, but they continued on. How about that?
Yeah, there's a nothing yet.
Right out of the book of Hebrews.
I think
we
walked
the right path, no matter whether we see the prize appearing before us or not.
I think the first chapter of Nothing Yet should be entitled, You Ain't Seen.
There you go.
Steve,
Go
with it. Keep going. Write the book right here on the air.
Woo-hoo.
Well,
you ain't seen chapter two. What's chapter two? And because
nothing
and
yet.
Here's the reason you ain't seen. No.
But you know what? God is that kind of God of you ain't seen nothing yet, don't you think?
Yeah, and he's also the kind of God that says, I can create an incredible harvest, but if you go out there to till the soil and plant the first seed and you demand that there be a harvest today in March or April when you're planting seeds, then you won't see the harvest that I've created.
Powerful stuff here.
Yeah, people, you know, this the whole being able to suspend the prize to become what we need to be and doing in the pursuit of the prize.
Yeah.
And then there's the real part of hope deferred makes the heart sick.
That's right. And people that don't get in the process don't see short wins that they can embrace as wins and be grateful for those, even though they're, you know, it's not the Olympics. It'd be sort of like if, you know, if Peyton Manning at age 16 would have said, well, I'm only going to play football if I can play in the Super Bowl. No, he had to play a lot of games along the way, you know, to get there and embrace those for the value that they were along the way. And God asks us to day by day go through each day and embrace every interaction as becoming more of who I need to be, and then realize that I leave the fruit up to Him.
Very nice.
Oh, good wisdom.
As usual.
I know.
As usual. All right. Is there anything that we want to add to the situation with cursing and the disrespect and the anger and bitterness there?
Yeah, I would tell her that that to take a different approach. I think where she was headed with it was talking about, you know, that this is wrong, you shouldn't be cursing, and obviously all of that. But the real dynamic where she has power is in the relationship, that she as a person doesn't want to be around that and that it is hurtful to her. Mm-hmm. So what I would say, instead of saying, you know, bad husband, you shouldn't be using this language or saying those things, I would say, I want a relationship with you where I feel safe and where hurtful things aren't said to me. You know, if you want to go in the backyard, you can say whatever you want to say, but I don't want it said in front of me or in front of the kids, or hurtful things said to me, and I want you to respect that, and I want you to hear that. And if you don't, then I'll probably, you know, remove myself from the situation where that's happening because it hurts. I don't want to do that. I want to be close to you. But to be close to you, I got to feel safe with the language you're speaking.
I hope some folks are listening to this. It really does make all the difference in the world.
And you know what's interesting, Steve, is oftentimes we get hung up on what we see, on the behaviors that we see on the surface, but there is a cesspool of pain in that man's heart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he is a victim of abuse himself. So, right. And it's never
That's
been
a
dealt
really
with.
Good point.
So until you go deep and until you heal that abscess, you're going to keep seeing the behavior on top. It's going to stay there.
Yeah.
So, and okay. That's why the, you know, the religious answer is what a lot of people do. They look at bad behavior and they say, don't do that.
Yeah.
And that's what the Bible says was insufficient to change people. That when Moses came off the hill with the commandments, you know, don't use bad words. There were 10 of them, you know, 10 thou shalt nots. And then a whole law that Paul tells us in the book of Romans was powerless to change people. And what did change people is what Sherry said, where Jesus came down to the level of where their brokenness and pain was and joined that and grew them up from the inside out. And that's what we all need.
Amen. All right, let's go to Simone from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi there.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome. How could we help you today?
I am seeing a counselor for depression, and she has suggested that I may need to be on medication, and she has referred me to a psychiatrist. My only thing is that I am really averse to taking medication.
Why?
And I wanted to know.
Whoa! Just stop right there before we know any more. Why are you averse to taking medication? Do you mean psychotropic medication? Or you mean any medication?
Well, I really don't take any medication, really.
So
I have sickle cell anemia, and I don't take medication for that, even when I'm in like a pain crisis, because. I don't know, I just don't like to do it, and I don't take pills.
Right. I understand that you don't. I understand that you're opposed to it, and I understand you don't like it. I don't know the why.
I grew up in a family where my mother was a nurse, and I guess she's just drummed it into my head, and that medication is not good for you.
Wow.
And especially like a medication like this, it is psychotropic and it changes stuff in your head. And then of course, listen to the commercials and they talk about all the horrible side effects, and I'm thinking, I don't want to deal with that. Sometimes the side effects just seem worse than the condition that's trying
Do you know the statistics on those side effects?
No.
Do you know the insurance costs that drive them through attorneys that require them to list every possible random occurrence of anything beyond a statistical formula, or they get sued if they don't put it on the commercial, versus the likelihood of those side effects happening and the seriousness of them? No. Now, I'm not picking on you, but I'm trying to clarify something. That, and I don't know anything about your situation. You may need medication. You may not. I don't know you. But I do hear this a lot, and I'm speaking not only you but a lot of other people, that there are people out there who are adverse to medication, period. Okay? Now, it is rare that you run into someone who can tell you medically why they are adverse to medication, specifically a specific medication. Every now and then you run into it. But I think that whenever we have stances like that in life, we need to examine, maybe I inherited those stances, or maybe those stances are there for other reasons, and those reasons may be working against me, and I need to re-examine them. Okay, so I don't have a problem with you doing a full search of, look at the SSRIs, for example, is one class of antidepressants. Look at others, and you do the full search, and with your other medical picture, sitting down with several doctors and coming to an informed conclusion that when it comes to, if you do have a biological depression, that you've got to fight this in other ways for good, sound reasons. But if it's just because you're biased against medicine, I would encourage you to become more informed than that, because they literally can, in many situations, work miracles with very little danger.
You know, Simone, my wife didn't believe in medication until she met me. And I think many times she would like me to up the medication sometimes. But really, I think that I'm able to do my job because God gave someone the gift of intelligence, and they figured out a way to help my brain work better. Or I would just be a total mess, not just partial.
Okay, so we've given our lecture, Simone. What do you think, and how can we help?
Well, I have a question. I'm just wondering where the loss was early in your life. Who left you? Who went away? Did Dad go away?
My dad was never there.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've got some attachment and bonding wounds. And often in the world of trauma that I work in, I listen. And when I hear depression come up, that's the limbic system. And there's usually some loss, attachment loss, that happened early on that hasn't been resolved yet. And that's keeping the depression alive. So I know we have to take a break, but I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that when we come back. Because it sounds like you're trying to do the work with your therapist, but you're feeling stuck and she's feeling concerned. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a break and come right back after this. Hang on.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ.
Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Simone, anything we've said that would change your opinion about anything?
Well, it makes me want to do more research.
Okay. But, you know, it's like Henry was saying, when you look at the side effects of these drugs, you know, I mean, if it's excess belching, that doesn't mean that that's what that causes. It means that, you know, maybe 4 out of 1,000 people belched excessively or something like that. You really do have to look at what it's saying there.
It's
important.
And I work, I have my practice, but I work in another practice where I have 6 psychiatrists that I work with. And so sometimes in the midst of that, I've seen a benefit to those that have been encouraged to get on that for a period of time while they're doing their healing. And they need it to actually cope better. And then there's some clients that have been like, I'm so averse to it. And there may be some other options therapeutically. One of the options that I do in my practice is called EMDR. I know I've talked about it on the station ever so often. It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's a form of therapy. It's for trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, when there's been losses in the past that have been unresolved. They actually change your brain chemistry early on. And EMDR is one of those kind of treatments that actually changes brain chemistry. So I've seen specs before, you know, looking at the brain before and after EMDR, and the brain actually quiets down. Meaning when I say quiet down, it means maybe the limbic system is where, that's where we get depression. It's the limbic system is kind of mood control central. All right. So it's responsible for our mood. It's responsible for our thinking, appetite and sleep, bonding, libido, all of those kind of things are a part of the limbic system. When it's working too hard, we become irritable, depressed. We may have more negative thoughts, have more appetite and sleep issues, socially isolate, you know. Those are the kind of things that happen when there's too much blood flow or it's kind of stuck trying to resolve something of the past. And so that's one tool that I use if somebody is averse to medication and is willing to try another therapeutic, you know, modality, something different to try to have their depression decrease. So I would make that suggestion for you. While you're doing the research, like Henry invited you to do, take a look up on that as well.
Well, I think the willingness to do the research is really good. That's important. If nothing else, look into it versus just decide no way. All right? Well, as I wind this down here, I want to thank you, Henry. Thank you, Dr. Denham, for all that you guys do. You guys are so on target and really appreciate it. But for all of you that are listening, you know, New Life really needs your help, and we're getting to year end, and if there's no great year end that comes through, we're in trouble. And I'm just asking you to really pray about whether or not God wants you to give to a ministry that is focused on transformation. Now, you know, what we've tried to do here is utilize Scripture in the most realistic way possible so that somebody struggling would have handles to grab onto, that somebody that is in trouble would be able to do some things that wouldn't go against Scripture. That doesn't mean that we're going to quote Scripture at every problem that comes up, but it does mean that every problem that comes up, we're going to present a biblical approach, an approach that would support the principles of Scripture. And it takes a lot of study, and it's taken a lot of years to get here. And I am so grateful for people like Henry and Sherry and John and Jill and Mylon and Dave that have come along and provided the wisdom that we need to do what we do. But we do these wonderful workshops. It's Lose It for Life, Healing is a Choice. We do a marriage workshop. Every Man's Battle meets every month. What an amazing thing we get to do, because we are allowed to watch people literally transform their lives right in front of us. And if you want to be part of that, give to New Life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, Dr. Denham, you are always coming over, doing the radio program. Why is it worth your while to do this? You don't have any books to sell. You know, it's just...
as you reminded me of here today.
Yes, I did.
No, really, Steve, it is for the life change. It is amazing to watch people change because of this ministry. Mm. You know, your New Life weekends that we do, where we go and you see people come in and they're downcast, and then by the end of the weekend, they have hope, they have some direction, they've got some healing, there have been breakthroughs. You know, and all the conversations that we have when we're just out on the street talking to different people in regards to what they hear on the radio show, it's right. In TV, it's like, oh my goodness, marriages where they wouldn't have intervened. They wouldn't have gotten the help they needed had they not heard something over the airwaves.
Right.
And I just hear over and over again that there's good things that come out of this that move people to make changes. And that's why I do it. Because we're all about helping people move up and out of the situation that they're in. And this is a transformational ministry.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that we're not here so people can just feel better. We really don't care about that.
No, really, we're not. And a lot of times people kind of, you'll see them on the radio, right? It's like sometimes it feels a little worse before it gets better. Because it's like, oh, that truth, I needed to hear that.
We want it to feel bad enough that this is the last time they ever have need to call.
Right. Right.
Because we want them to take the advice that they get and move forward with it and move beyond. But see, we're not here just to help people have a better situation in whatever situation they're in. This is a transformation ministry, and it's very different than any other ministry, because what we want to see is total, complete transformation. Now, you might say, well, hey, I support a ministry that brings people to Christ. We want people to come to Christ, but even people that don't have Christ, we want to see them transform their lives through the power of the body of Christ and a program that they can understand, where they've got a direction and they've got a path. That's what we're trying to do here at New Life Live. And if you could help us, please do call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com, and there you'll find a way to support this ministry. We've been doing some thankfulness quotes. I want to give you one more as we close out the program. Melody Beatty, a person who's written about codependency so much, she wrote this: gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. That's pretty powerful, I think. We want you to be grateful. We want you to experience the benefits of a grateful life. Very difficult to be angry and grateful, or depressed and grateful. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, the same place to go if you can help us, and I hope that you will. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Blessings to you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.